Missed the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show?
Hello.
You didn't? Well, here it is again anyway. The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
Last night I sat up late to 2:30 this morning to watch Graham McDowell from Portrush, the second ever golfer from Northern Ireland to win a major golf tournament. US Open champion 2010. Our very own Nige was there. Morning, Nige.
Who does your research for you?
Has he got it wrong?
No. Nige does his research. You texted me that last night.
I did, didn't I?
At about 2:40 this morning. It was amazing.
What a great day. What a fabulous occasion. And an absolute pleasure to be here to see it.
Can I just say something, Nige? I have to say, you pick your holidays well. I know you're on a work capacity at the moment, but the reason why you went at this time of the year was solely to see the US Open. And what an opportunity and what a time to actually select a holiday of that nature to go on.
I don't have to go back now to a US Open. I've seen it now at Pebble Beach, perhaps the most famous golf course in the world. And we had a local winner. That's it. I don't need to go back.
So how was Graham after his acceptance speech and after he picked up the trophy and whenever he was doing the press conference a couple of hours ago? How was he?
Well, it's all obviously trying to sink in. I mean, the magnitude of his achievement. I mean, as you quite rightly pointed out, I mean, it's been 40 years since a European last won the US Open. That was 1970. It's 1947. Fred Daly won the Open, the only other Northern Ireland man to ever claim a golfing major championship. He was also from Portrush. You got to put this in some sort of perspective. This is like winning an Olympic gold medal from Northern Ireland. I mean, this is how big an achievement this is for Graham. So it was all beginning to sink in. His dad, Kenny, was there, hugged him in the 18th. It's Father's Day today. All very emotional. This will take some time to sink in. And Graham's a very articulate person, as you know, when he's talking to the press. Even he was finding, a little trouble trying to put this sort of into words. And I don't think it'll really hit home, perhaps until he gets home, perhaps until he realises exactly the enormity of the achievement.
Now, we saw him at the airport last week. Kirsty himself travelling back from Manchester. He was a top bloke, wasn't he?
He was lovely. He was a really nice guy, yeah.
And he certainly had form, winning the Celtic Open last week, winning the US Open this week. How do you reckon he's going to fare in the BMW next weekend?
Do you know what? I'll be very interested to see whether he keeps to that commitment of going to Germany or not next weekend. It might not be such a bad idea to take a week off and relax and really enjoy the moment. But that still is his plan, is to go to Germany next week to take part in that. But you have to remember, the Open at St Andrews is not only four weeks away. In fact, 4 weeks today, it'll all be over. And of course, I mean, he's in the form of his life. Why shouldn't he go to St Andrews? It's the place he knows well. It's the place that he's played very well in the past. And who knows, he's not going there as the US Open champion, which means with that comes an awful lot more responsibility. With it comes an awful lot more pressure when he tees it up, for the next major championship. But he's won one now. There's no reason why he can't go on with others.
Well, fair play to him. Now, Nige, how are you celebrating tonight? What time is it there?
It is about 20 to midnight.
Early doors in your hotel room right now, or are you going out into town?
No, in the hotel room. I'm currently finishing off some work that hopefully you'll be able to listen to and to read over the next couple of days. And then I'm off to Las Vegas in the morning.
Lucky you,
Nige.
Part two of the holidays.
The village of sin, Nige. Listen, don't do anything I wouldn't.
Oh, well, that's hardly likely to happen. You're a very good boy.
You're saying you're not, Nige.
I don't have the old trouble and strife keep me in line.
Now here, Nige, before you go anywhere, even the Sky commentary department last night were really doing my head in, right, with regards to Graham's surname, okay? Leave us with the official name of the US Open champion 2010.
He will always be Graham McDowell.
Yeah! Thank you, Nige.
Take care, guys.
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast. It begins.
Shall we take a moment and not discuss sport this morning?
Oh, that would be fantastic.
We're not going to discuss Graham McDowell. We're not going to discuss the fact that Wimbledon is on today. We're not going to discuss the fact that the World Cup is still on today. Is there anyone out there this morning who has just had their fill of sport?
I can appreciate the Graeme McDowell stuff, even though I'm not a huge golfing fan. I appreciate he's from Northern Ireland. He's done fantastically well, and I'm proud of the fact that he's done well and he's from here. So yeah. I can appreciate that. That's
we're
not a problem this
and plus,
morning.
Plus, we also love the fact that we are the broadcaster, okay, who calls him Graeme McDowell, okay? The way it's meant to be. Even the guys in Sky TV last night, okay, were calling him Graeme McDowell. It's Graeme McDowell, yes. He is the US Open champion 2010. Not Graeme McDowell. Who's Graeme McDowell?
It must be Andy McDowell's brother or something.
I don't know. Anyway, so there you go. Anyway, fair play. But I want to hear from you this morning if you're well and truly sick to the teeth of the sport. Are you ready just to lock yourself in a darkened room to try and chill out? Do anybody who's like that?
What, that hates sport?
No, but hits the fact that, because we're in a time, like, I'm loving it. I can't stress this enough. Every time I switch on the TV, I know there's Wimbledon to go with it as well. It's brilliant. It's really, really, really good. And I'm my element. Football's on every day. It's just brilliant.
There's loads. There was cricket on telly yesterday as well.
Oh, yes, that's right.
There's cricket, and there's loads of international rugby games being played. I'm not exactly sure what that's for, but sometimes it's on in my house.
And then before you know it, Ashes is back on, okay? It's Ashes year this year, and it's the Ryder Cup as well. Mike, you know what we started?
The Ashes is not an annual thing.
No, it's biannual.
Biannual.
Yeah.
Goodness, it doesn't seem 5 minutes since the last one.
And the and the Ryder Cup's biannual as well.
Right.
And we started off this link saying we're not going to talk about sport.
Oh, there you go. Just
but
build it
go.
For the sport.
Missed the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show?
Hello.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
Hey, talking of sport, right? You know why Nige is off, Kirsty?
Yeah.
Right, well, it's now Wimbledon.
Uh-huh.
Starts today. And you know the way we always applaud Nige with regard to the pronunciation of so many of those Eastern Europeans? Stankovic, Janovic, all the Vitches.
Yeah.
And Nige does it particularly well.
He does do it very well.
Listen, just think.
Mm-hmm.
You could be reading a sport for the next 2 weeks.
No, I don't think so. It's not that I don't like reading the sport. I don't mind it. But I panic when I think there might be a funny pronunciation like that coming up. Munir is doing the sport in the next hour.
I thought you delivered it very well at 8 o'clock.
Well, there was one query because he did... one of the names I had to read out, he put in phonetically for me. So it's spelt as you say it. That's the right way to say it, isn't it? Yes. But his first name, or her first name, don't even know if it's male or female. Jan or Jan. There was no Y in there, so I took a gamble and I said Jan, and apparently I was correct. So
well
thank
done.
Goodness for
well
that. But
done.
No, I'm glad that somebody else will be doing the sport with Wimbledon on because I don't want to do it because all those names are a nightmare.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Sport read by, we don't know who yet, but someone who can pronounce it all properly. It's good news. We are a professional organisation.
You normally hear them on the radio. Now you've just heard them on the internet. It was the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
You couldn't like George Osborne if you tried.
Well, he's going to try and do his best to get us all out of this mess.
I appreciate that.
You've got to respect him for that. He's got a tough job on his hands.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be easy.
But listen, at the end of the day, right, but you couldn't like the man.
What specific reasons do you have for not liking him?
Just I'm talking about because of what he's going to do today. He's going to up the price of everything. Smokes, beer, VAT, tax. Doesn't he know, right, that I got screwed over for the past 2 years paying a fixed rate mortgage, okay, at an extortionate interest rate when everyone else was knocking hundreds of pounds off their mortgage because the interest rate plummeted. Now I'm out of it. I've benefited from the low interest rate for 1 month and now he's going to whack it up again. I'm gutted.
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast. It begins.
How much a pack of cigarettes cost you at the moment?
It depends which one you smoke. You can still get a pack of cigarettes for under £5 or some are over £6.
Right. So pretty much after that, you won't be able to get a packet of fags for under £5.
I doubt it very much.
It's an expensive habit.
It is.
Anyway, I wouldn't wish that job on anybody, but fair play to George Osborne, who's going to try, I can hardly say his name, George Osborne, who's going to try and do his best. Try. You know what? There's some jobs out there that you just wouldn't want. Number one, Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Yeah.
Number two, Minister of Education in this country. Because you've got to pick up the pieces and try to make it all right again. Like, it's an uphill struggle. What other jobs, you know, which come with a lot of responsibility you just wouldn't want? You wouldn't wish them on anybody.
Oh,
Dragon
goodness.
Cameron sits there and goes, ha ha, right, let's see. Yes, you're going to be in my cabinet. Ha, I'll make you the Chancellor. Best of luck with that.
It's all delegation. Still comes down to him at the end of the day.
I love that whole delegation thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to be able to delegate.
You do.
What?
Chris, you sort out the dilly dirt there. Okay.
No, no, hold on. I know. Okay, I need a bigger team so we can delegate more.
Right. Yeah, that would be great. Love that idea.
Anyway. Shortly, N-Dubs and Kirsty will have your dilly dirt for you as well. It's been delegated.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
We're discussing jobs that you wouldn't wish on anybody. Number one, Jaws. Why can I not
Jaws.
Say?
Jaws.
Why do I say Jaws all the time? It's George Osborne, Chancellor of the Exchequer. Today, he will not be liked. VAT will be up. Tax will be up. Tax on cigarettes will be up. Booze will be up. Petrol will be up. Not going to be good. Anyway, throughout the course of today, keep listening. Newsroom will keep you bang up to date with the latest developments as we get them. 918-200-101 on the phones this morning. Hello.
Pete, how you doing?
Not bad.
England manager.
Oh, why? You wouldn't waste that on anybody.
Sure you wouldn't?
No. Definitely not.
Definitely not. And by the way, as a Liverpool fan, if Roy Hodgson doesn't want the job straight off, I don't want him as a Liverpool manager.
I don't think he's the right guy for the job anyway.
No,
I don't think he's charismatic enough.
Oh, Kenny Dalglish.
Oh, absolutely, King Kenny, all the way. Have you heard in the grapevine the rumour that the brother of the dude that owns Man City has put a £600 million bid for Liverpool? Have you heard that?
I tell you what, I've heard. My brother's an accountant, and he has some dealings with that Capital One Bank or whatever it is that are handling the sale.
Yes.
And he was saying that they have had two confirmed bids. And your man Gillette won't budge on the $700 million asking price. And they have had two serious confirmed bids.
I wish he would just go back to selling razor blades.
Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, here, and by the way, the Spruce Field Motor, the roadworks are gone on City Bound.
Are they gone?
Oh, aye, yes, it was great this morning. Hallelujah. That time of the morning, coffee hadn't sunk in yet. Just about to turn into the centre reservation and there was nothing there.
Love that.
Brilliant.
Love that. All right, mate. Well, listen, thank you very much for your call.
Monterey.
Adios.
Cool.
Missed the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show?
Hello.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
I like your beard.
Say she loves stroking it. Why else would she like it?
You don't stroke beards, though.
Hockey day. Blokes do it all the time, right? You see when I've got a bit of stubble and they go. I don't know, it's just...
Do you find it comforting?
I don't know why. Blokes just do that, you know?
Or is it just to exfoliate your fingers?
No.
Get rid of all that
dead skin? Like, I don't know. Do you find men with beards attractive?
Andy has a lovely goatee.
That's not what I asked. That wasn't what I asked.
Well, a goatee is a beard, isn't it?
I asked you whether or not you find men with beards attractive.
I like Andy's one.
Forget about your fiance. Okay, do you like men with beards?
No.
Do you find them attractive? If Andy had a beard, would you find him attractive?
Yes.
A fully grown beard. No.
Right.
Okay. Oh, and it gets to the point. It's like no, that's gonna have to go.
Right.
So he shaves it all off, and then you know, 24 hours later, it's back. But that's okay for a few days. But a fully grown beard.
We could have got to the point 3 minutes ago. All you had to say was no.
No, because then he might have been offended.
Oh, God.
Because a goatee is still a beard.
Welcome to
Kirsty's
marriage
world.
Counseling.
Counseling?
Not marriage counseling. Married yet. Just quite yet, but there you go.
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast. It begins.
Good morning.
Now, we had this call just before 9 o'clock news.
Now, what does scundered mean? We have this argument in work, and all the people from Belfast think scundered means embarrassed.
That's true.
But all the country yokels all think scundered means bored.
All right. Brenda's on this morning. Hello.
Hi, Pete. Just talking about scundered, my mother-in-law is from Ballymena and she would say scundered if she's cold. So there's another meaning for you as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Take care now. Kirsty.
Well, I've checked the definition for scundered. And according to Wiktionary, it means embarrassed or fed up. So that lady's mum's pretty fed up because she's so cold. And yes, we've all used it before to mean embarrassed as well. So it sort of means both, depending on which context you use it in.
So the city slickers and the country yokels
are... They're both right.
Both right. There you go.
Everyone's happy.
Happy day.
As heard every weekday mornings, when you wake up, the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
I'm not sure how I feel with regards to the England match today, whether I want them to win or not.
Right.
Sort of in two minds, you know, because like Stephen Gerrard's probably my favourite player. and he's captain of the team, and a lot of the players you watch week in, week out, you know. The part of me sort of thinks, well, Slovenia, they're playing, and they ensured that we didn't make it to the World Cup, so part of me would like to see them. Well, it would be bittersweet, I suppose, if England get put out by Slovenia. Just think we could have been there. Oh, well, such is life. But I'm going to hopefully get out of work today and home in time for the match at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Do you want England to win?
I don't really care. But Stevie G annoyed me, actually.
Why?
In the last game, when we were watching it in Paris. They came on for the second half, and the first bit of the players that we see is him walking onto the pitch and spitting. And they hadn't even started
don't
playing.
Don't get in your high horse.
Why do they have to spit?
Because it helps you breathe more easily.
Right, okay, but he hadn't even started.
Yeah,
then
I know
he
that.
Just walked onto the pitch.
Perhaps he's had a bit of a throat infection, or perhaps he's got the cold.
I'm surprised he's allowed to play then, if that's the case.
You just don't stop playing sport because you've got the cold.
Well, you have to be at, you know, your best. If you're not 100%, there's no point in getting out there, is there?
Oh, but listen, a wee skittery cold is not going to do you any harm playing
for
football.
For men, it's sometimes a bit different.
Oh, white up.
But no, in all
listen,
honesty.
In all fairness, right, okay? Listen, this is the deal. You see, whenever it comes to blokes,
yeah.
right, playing the card off, oh, I'm really sick and I've got the man flu, mm-hmm. that's because there's stuff around the house that needs done. Right, that's the bottom line. Now, you see, if it was a Friday afternoon and there was nothing planned for Saturday morning and you had nothing to do on the Friday night, you'd still be in the pub. The man flu does not keep you in that much. It's in a Sunday afternoon when the house needs cleaned and you've got something playing on you. It just sort of exacerbates into something that it's not. But we play it well.
But why do men not feel guilty
for that? We lie on the sofa and we sweat the bit out and we go, oh, I'm really, can you bring me a drink? And we do it. It's all play acting.
I tell you, us women need to put our foots down and stop lifting and laying you.
That's the way it works, right? But you know what?
You have no guilt about doing this.
Oh, no. Then if the boys phoned and said, up for the pub? Oh, yes, no problem.
Oh, a miraculous recovery.
I'm feeling great. Mm-hmm. I'll be with you in 10 minutes. That's the way it works.
That's bad.
I
tell you what, there'll be a lot
bit.
Of men out there going, will you shut up?
But hold on a wee second. I'm just being totally honest about it, but you girlies do exactly the same thing as well.
We do not.
Yes, you do.
Who's going to do all the stuff in the house if we don't do it? Because obviously the men are going to be lying there going, oh, I've got man flu, I can't do it.
Well, what you do is, right, is you say, oh, I'm not feeling great. And, you know, you play in our senses of feeling guilty and then we are forced into doing things. That's what
you
happens.
You wouldn't just fancy doing them anyway because, let's face this, it's got to be done.
No one likes doing it. Sometimes,
but mostly the women do it.
Sometimes, not listen, not always, but sometimes you just play on it a little bit just to ensure that you get yourself out of it. What do you make of this,
ladies and gentlemen?
I started
something now.
9182-0010. It's true, play acting takes part on both the male and the female part.
How do you get out of the jobs you hate doing?
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
What about you, Pete? Listen, you said too much, sir. Like, you're giving away far too many of the non-trade secrets.
Listen, I'm not giving away too much.
You did, man. You tell Kirsty far too much, sir. I'm going to have to go to the union about you, sir. Like.
Listen to me. Listen to me. There's no issue. They know
no,
it as well.
Not, like,
they know it as well. But you know what? I think women get an awful lot out of looking after us, making us feel special.
Well, that is their job, Pete.
Well, I wouldn't say it's their job. I just think that they... I think they get... I've got to be honest with you. When it comes... When the shoe's in the other foot, right? I love doing things for my missus.
Well, so do I. And then go to the pub after.
Yes.
Yes.
So I think that ladies love making their bloke feel good. Feeling special. Lifting and laying them. I think they enjoy that some. Not all the time. You can't take advantage. But I think sometimes they enjoy doing it.
Well, I have a question for you. Do you think they enjoy doing that as much as they enjoy making us feel bad?
Good question.
I'll leave that one with you.
Thank you very much. I will ponder over that.
No bother, Pete.
Have a good day now.
Cheers, you too, mate. Bye.
From a lady's perspective, Kirsty, what do you think? Do you enjoy making your man feel special?
Why would... Oh, make him feel special?
Yeah.
Of course I do.
See, there
but
you go.
But then,
exactly,
you know, it works both ways. You know, he hasn't had man flu yet. He'll get a shock when he does. In fact, no, actually he did, and I did lift and lay after him.
Hold on a second.
Damn!
What sort of shock's he going to get?
Well, I was going to say that I won't be lifting Lennon, but I did already because he did have it when he had his flu jab.
Well done.
Damn.
Well done.
It's our own fault, though. We bring them up this way. Any parents there with sons?
You played it well there, Andrew. Well done, son. Well done.
There's no way of playing it. He's asleep on the sofa.
Kirstie. What? You got sucked in. Well done.
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
Last night I was listening to the football on the radio in the car. I was up to Belfast last night from a friend's birthday and we're going out for a bite to eat. And Germany were playing. And a couple of guys in the pitch last night. And it was amazing. Every time the commentator mentioned their names, certain things ran through my head. So whenever Kingston got the ball, I was thinking, Sean Kingston, mm-hmm. You're way too beauty. Yeah. All right. And then whenever Müller got the ball, all I could think about was Frick Corner.
Right.
I don't know. I was in the car last night. I was very, very, very sad. And I was emulating exactly what the commentators were saying. I was going, Frick Corner's got the ball. And he knocks into Sean Kingston. Your way. And all this sort of nonsense. What goes on in my head? It's beyond me.
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
I mentioned that I'm a bit of a hoarder. And since I started DJing 13 years ago, I have kept pretty much every single flyer of every club night that I have been involved in.
Right.
I've also kept every lanyard that I've got from gigs and from concerts I've been at and all sorts. Mm-hmm. I've kept ticket stubs from all my gigs that I've been to and football matches that I've been to and the whole shebang. And on the wall of my office where I've got all my records and everything, I've got this massive frame up there. And it's been up for, I don't know, a year or so. I haven't taken it down to start filling it with this stuff yet, so it's empty. And Kirsty realised from watching a TV show yesterday that I've landed myself in it somewhat.
Well, apparently having frames up on the wall without a picture in them is bad luck. Or without anything in them, be it, I don't know, T-shirt, whatever it is you want to put in a frame. If it's just empty, it brings bad luck, apparently.
So I've had bad luck for the last year.
Is that how long it's been up there?
Yeah.
I tell you what, you don't need a frame for all this stuff. You know what you need to do?
What?
You need to buy a pub and decorate the walls with it.
Oh, yeah. No problem at all. Sure.
Save it until you move to Australia.
Listen, pocket change. I'll just go out to the car and empty the ashtray. No problem. I'll buy myself a pub later on this afternoon. I'm listening to you. What do you mean when I move to Australia?
I mean later on in life. Keep saving it up.
What do you mean when I move to Australia?
Well, because your woman Sally Morgan said you were going to go and, you know, live in Australia at some point. So whenever you do that, go out there, open up an Irish bar and smother the walls and all this stuff. You don't need to worry about buying wallpaper then. You'll have enough.
Right, okay. Okay, whatever you say. Anyway, listen, I don't believe in all that superstition stuff anymore. I've stopped saluting magpies on the way into work in the morning.
Why though? Because you're not even secretly in your head, just very quietly go, morning, Mr. Magpie.
No.
Three times.
No. And the reason why is because once you actually do that or you salute them, right, in the hope of taking the bad luck away, at that particular stage in the game, your mindset is focused on the fact that you could get bad luck. So it's all about positive thinking.
About not having bad luck.
Exactly. So right, just don't salute them in the first place and then you're all right.
Well, I don't anyway.
What other superstitions do you have apart from the magpies? You do.
I'm not really superstitious.
No?
Do
you not say, oh, I still don't do that actually?
Would you still walk under a ladder?
No.
No. But sometimes that's just common sense.
I try not to. And I'll tell you the reason why.
Why?
Because whenever I was a kid, this has lived with me forever. Whenever I was a kid, my dad was out the side of the house putting up brackets on the wall for my CB radio aerial all those years ago.
Yeah, right, okay.
What do you mean you're having a laugh? Yeah,
you actually got your dad to go and erect that on the side of the house for your CB.
Yeah, well, I was too young to go and do it.
No, but you don't just have like a wee one. I suppose they're massive, aren't they? Some of those masks.
Yeah, I was very lucky because I had, at one stage I'd purchased a CB radio that was able to get quite long distance.
Right.
So I needed a big aerial. So the big aerial went up. And, he put it up the side. Well, actually, he did.
Did your dad use this CB thing as well?
No.
So it's just for you?
It's just for me, yes.
Right, okay.
I had a love for radio from a very young age. Mm-hmm. Anyway, right, so I had the CB. And he went out to back to put up the brackets in the wall so I could put my aerial up. I had to get someone in to do it eventually because he didn't quite make the job. And I'll tell you the reason why. No, don't laugh. It's not a laughing matter.
No, he didn't fall off, did he?
Well, actually, what happened was the ladder slipped and it pulled out from the wall and he went straight down and landed on his front on top of the ladder.
Oh!
See, I told you, don't laugh. How appropriate was that? Ooh. over the last problem. 3 minutes, I don't understand what the situation is here, but we can't get the microphones off, right?
So they're sitting there looking at each other going, shh. Couldn't have any chat.
No chat whatsoever. Anyway.
So what we're going to do next then, Pete? Do you know why this is? Because we were talking about superstition and the fact that you have got a frame up in your bedroom without anything in it, brings bad luck.
So you're going to have bad luck for the rest of the day? That's just exactly not what I need today, I swear to you. Hold on. Hello? See, that's all the faders are down. You can still
hear us.
We're
still on. Even mine.
Yeah, you too. Oh, no. I'm going to have to phone the engineers and go, hello, I don't know what happened, but I've broken it. Right. Do you know what they'll do?
You'll get to hear a bit more than you bargained for this morning,
no,
probably.
Do you know what'll happen?
What?
No, I'm not an engineer.
They'll say, switch it off and
switch it back on again. We'll wait and see what happens. Anyway. So, we'll give it a blast. We'll do the headlines in traffic and travel, and then we'll just hold our breath during the ads. It's a little weird.
That sounds funny to me.
It does sound funny as well. Can you still
hear
us?
We're actually going out on air. That's can you hear us?
918-2010, just to prove that you can actually hear us this morning. Please phone. Okay, traffic and travel news in a second. Kirsty's got the headlines.
Well, coming up, police say there are suspicious circumstances after the remains of a man aged in his 50s were found in a flat at Hollywood. Australia has a new prime minister. She's a woman and she's originally from Wales. And thousands of people are expected to sweat it out in long queues to get their hands on the latest iPhone today. All the details for you at 8. What?
Oh, the whole thing's just...
It's just going. Can we play music? Well, we can chat.
We can certainly chat. My goodness, that means I can't play me ads. Oh dear.
Shall I go? Have we got a CD? Oh, no ads.
Now hold on a wee second here.
A minute, it'll work. You'll get it going. Get it going.
Right. Okay. No. Let's see. If I do this, it should work. Traffic oh, good.
Woohoo!
It does still feel weird. I want to read you the last text message we just received. It's from Sonia. She says, oh my goodness, I laughed the whole way into work at you two this morning. Made my day. I'm glad it made someone's
which
day.
Which bit?
The deal is this. If you just switched on the radio, the technology, ladies and gentlemen, has frozen. Meaning we couldn't bring you the sports cuts. We couldn't bring you the business news.
Couldn't bring you any cuts, actually. No, there was loads this morning.
There's only one channel on the desk that's working, which means that between each song, we need to do something to fill the gap. The reason why is otherwise, you know, you could fit a 40-foot truck between the gaps. We can't switch the microphones off, right? So during the songs, you'll probably hear this. And you'll probably hear... trying to cough and clear your throat, but not actually being able to because you can't switch the microphones off. And you also hear this, which is the sound of me wheeling away from the desk to leave the studio to try and phone the engineering department to see what to do. What I've actually tried to do during the last song is transfer our broadcast into another studio. The problem is, at the moment, is that the system's frozen altogether, that we can't actually do this. What if we can take a call?
Shall we try?
I think we should try and take
a
call
this morning. Get the listener's point of view on this. See how we're sounding.
Numbers 918-2010. I think people are already trying to phone for the competition. At the moment, the competition won't be running until we get the problem fixed.
Yeah.
But hopefully everyone can still hear us, okay? Because the most bizarre thing about this morning is that I've got all the faders down.
They're all down, but we're still going out on air.
Yeah.
I think they can hear us. I've got people chatting to me on Facebook here.
Oh, that's good. Good morning.
Oh, no, we can't hear you, though.
No,
which is a shame.
The fader's up and the phone line selected. We're on our own, Kirsty.
Oh.
Right, anyway, it's 8:10 this morning. Hopefully you're all right. What we'll do is we'll play some Dizzy Rascal in a second, and I'll play some Kerry Hilson right now. Now, if you hear any sort of funny... I'll just let you know what you're going to hear throughout the course of the song. That's the paper, okay?
Do you want to hear what the door sounds like?
Yeah, give us a bit of the door. Okay. This
is the door.
And whenever you hear that, you know I'm outside speaking to the engineers. Hello, good morning, Northern Ireland. How you doing? 8:14, and in 10 minutes' time, all being well, our problems will be solved as the engineering department come to our rescue. If you've just joined the programme today, we've got all the faders down, but yeah, we can still broadcast. We've only got one channel to broadcast on as well, which means that during the news, you didn't get any cuts, no business, no sport, no nothing. If you enjoyed the broadcast this morning, do please write to the management. If you didn't, however, it's not our fault. And during the song, you might have heard me laugh and whatnot. That was Kirsty coming in through the door, and you could hear the door banging and whatnot. At this segment of the show, I plan to do... I was planning taking calls on air and speaking to some of the listeners this morning.
We can't do that either.
We can't do that either. Anyway, I'm going to tell you what I spotted last night. And this has been something that has been on my mind for quite some time.
What's that?
I spotted one of Michael O'Leary's planes leaving the city airport last night.
Right.
And you see on the wings, they've got wee fins that come up the side.
Yeah.
Right. Is that for planes, a bit like those guys who drive about Bangor car park on Sunday night with their spoilers? What's the point of them? Because no other planes have got them.
Just the wee ones?
No. This is big. This is like, I don't know, this is an Airbus. An Airbus 380 or... It's not a 747.
Oh, really? I don't think I'd ever seen them on the big ones before because, like, whenever we were coming back from Paris on Saturday,
it's not a jumbo. It's like a standard-sized plane.
We weren't on a jumbo, were we?
No. That's what I'm telling you. You're not listening.
I am listening. You're confusing me. Okay. You're saying it's a decent-sized plane.
It's a normal... You know why years ago in the city airport, they used to fly those shorts planes, those wee small ones?
With the props.
I mean, what's the props?
Propellers.
Ah, yes. Okay, yes, okay. And now they fly big planes out of the city airport.
Yes.
Like one of Michael O'Leary's planes. Now, it's not a jumbo... But it's a big plane.
But I didn't think they had the turning up bits at the end.
Oh, they've got the turning up bits at the end of the wings. What I'm wondering is, what's the point of them? And why do they have them and no one else does? Is it like a feature, like a spoiler on a car?
I don't know. Maybe I was going to make reference to your jeans.
What?
But I'm not going to.
What's the problem? What's wrong with my jeans?
Because normally, whenever you buy jeans to start off with, you'd need turn-ups. Until you get them altered.
Thanks very much. Talk about making someone's confidence just sky high this morning. You telling me that every pair of jeans that I've bought,
no,
I've had to get tailored?
No, I'm not saying that.
But what you're saying that you've noticed pairs of jeans that I've worn into work with turn-ups and then after a few weeks?
No.
They don't have turn-ups anymore. I've had them altered.
No, I'm just talking about turn-up trousers in general.
Okay, so how do you relate them to playing?
Well, you can't really.
So what was the point of bringing it up?
It was just turn-ups. You know,
oh, it just flagged up that sort of caption in your head, right?
I could imagine was just Cheetos with turn-ups on the bottom whenever we're talking about turn-ups on planes. I'm sorry, that's just the way my head was working at that particular moment in time.
Anyway, thank you so much for all your calls this morning. The switchboard's lighting up like beacons. People want to talk about the turn-ups on the actual wings on a plane, but we can't answer your call because the technology doesn't work.
It's failed.
Anyway, you can now listen to the chair moving and me typing away on the keyboard and Kirsty opening the door and letting it close again in the background. All that, plus Dizzy Rascal. Wow, we're the station that gives you more.
As heard every morning when you wake up, that was the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.